the title today is, part of the holy habit is church necessary? Okay. Is church necessary? It's a question we got to ask ourselves, we got to ask each other. Is church really necessary in this sort of tail end of post-pandemic? And, you know, when the pandemic hit in 2019, end of 2019, in December in Wuhan, and that's actually changed the world. We can't do church the way we did 2019. We all had to learn to do life differently. Amen. Was it 20? I thought it was end of 19. I was only testing Tony. You know, I was making sure whether he's listening to me or not. You know, thanks, Tony. That's what happens when you have a microphone. You can say whatever you want to say. But it's changed the church. It's changed our lives. It's changed everything, how we think, how we do life. And so I've been thinking about this too, about, you know, because before that, you know, even for church, we automatically wake up on a Saturday morning. Our bodies are programmed to go to church if you've been born and brought up in church. You just go to church. You just do things. You take everything for granted. But then come along the pandemic, it kind of shook the entire world. And we're living in an exciting, I call it, we're living in an exciting time because, you know, in the history of mankind, no one has seen what we are seeing today. And whenever there is a problem, God provides an opportunity for his name to be glorified. And his name is glorified through you and I called the church. Amen. So this is what I'm kind of looking at. Is church necessary? Because we started to look at how do we do church online? Because even if you look at companies and in the marketplace, it's not your CEO or your CFO that changed your company. It's the pandemic that changed the company. It's not your pastor that changed the church. It's the COVID-19 that changed the church. How we do? We had to quickly switch on online services. We started doing Zoom. We were Zooming with each other. And life has changed. And so I began to think, is church really necessary? Because we worked out on alternative ways. And I want to say this, church is necessary. But I want to explain that very clearly to you this morning. But I want us to understand that, you know what, the church is in a place where it is being persecuted. You will only be persecuted when you do something right. Wakey, wakey. You will only be persecuted when you do something right. You blending in and I blending in, church blending in ain't going to make a difference. The church has to stand out and declare and be the reflection of Christ. Hallelujah. And so I want to talk about that because we talked about connecting, meeting, gathering. We've done it so differently. And church is completely changed. We, you know, and I want to encourage you, those that are watching online, and I know we haven't seen you in a long time, and I'm encouraging you, come to church. Come to church. There's nothing like being together. I want to talk more on that soon. But, you know, we started to isolate for a long period of time. And that's not good for us to be isolated for a long period of time. If you look at the extreme prison, you know, they put you in prison and you're by yourself, isolation, but confinement, you know. Self-confinement and isolation because it drives you mad and makes you crazy because we are not wired to be alone. We're not wired to be alone. God didn't create you to be alone. God created you for fellowship. God created you for each other. God created so that we could do life together. You know, some people think that I don't need people in my life. And I'm happy to be by myself. Be independent, and being independent is happiness. No, being independent is not happiness. Being independent is loneliness. It's a loneliness that will creep in and start kicking in and starts hitting us. And, you know, some people think, I don't need anybody. I'm happy with God, me, my family, and my dog and my cat or whatever animals you've got. And let me tell you, that's a big lie. Let me also tell you another big lie, that if you think you can handle it alone and sort it out, that's a big lie. That's why it's important for us to realize that we need one another. And firstly, let me tell you about the church. Church is not an idea of man. Church is an idea of God. It's not some good man thought, oh, I'm going to create a church, make some money in my pocket and be happy. No. Church is the idea of God. Church has been persecuted right from Antioch in Acts chapter 2. Church has been persecuted, but somehow church continues to thrive. Why? Because it's the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ is not a building. The bride of Christ is you. The bride of Christ is me. We need one another. So church is not an idea of man, it's an idea of God. Number two, church is not a building, church is you and I. Turn to your neighbor and say, church is you. Church is me. And I'm going to sing a song, we are family anyway. You know, the third thing is God created, the answer is God created a physical family and then God created a spiritual family. Church is not a social club, but we have a social element to church. We're not a social club. We don't pay a prescription. If you're asleep this morning, wake up, because I want you to hear this morning. You need church in your life. I need church in my life. And church is important because it's what God created us, and God created a family. There's a physical family, then there is a spiritual family. And the physical family, we grow, we move on, but the spiritual family will remain. Now, my physical family that I grew up, my biological parents, well, one is alive, one is with God, pretty cool. And I've got siblings. They're all in India, up in India, but I've got a spiritual family. And let me tell you, my physical family, the family in India, have got no clue what's happening with Brock. But my spiritual family knows what's happening with Brock. God created two families. You got your brother, you got your sister, you got your father, you got your mother, and we are family. I got my brother and sister with me. Amen? Yeah? I'm just testing whether you listen to secular songs, you holy people. It's good to hear songs and listen to songs. So, but we got a spiritual family, and it's important to have that spiritual family. And we are all created for a measure of attention. We all want attention. Come on. If you don't want attention, then there's something seriously wrong with you. We all want attention. Hey, Tom. There's something seriously wrong with Tom. Hey, Lisa. Yes. Yeah. You know, we need attention. We need approval. We need affirmation. We need affection from one another. But we don't admit it, but we put on a mask. We're good at wearing a mask. When I need attention, because I'm not getting attention, I'm manifesting. You know, I'm grumpy. I like it. You know, there's a couple in our church. They do marriage really well. The husband thinks being outside and working in the garden is actually being with her and showing her he loves her. But the wife is not happy with that. The wife says, I don't care about the garden. You be inside and be with me. Hold my hand. Let's cuddle up and watch a movie. You know, so I'm just saying that because we all need that attention. We need the care. We need the love. Or is it just me? No, amen. Amen, come on. All right, Genesis 2:18, it says, 2:18, then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be. I said, it's not good for man to be. I said, it's not good for man to be. I will make him a helper who is just right for him. And she was called Eve. God created Eve for Adam. God created Adam for God, but God created Eve for Adam. Amen. And he knew that it's not good for Adam to be alone. It's not good for Adam to be alone with his dog. It's not good for Adam to be alone with his couple of rabbits. It's not good for Adam to be alone with his new house or a new car or a new boat. It's not good for Adam to be alone with his little new project in the garage. It's important for man to have somebody to do life with. And God created Eve. Even God is saying, it's not good for you to be alone. And then Romans chapter 12, verse 5, it says, so it is with Christ's body, we are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. Trust me, in the last 2 weeks, I'm quite, what's the word for people that study liver? The body, you know, body organ. I've studied so much on liver, and I'm going, my goodness, liver is so important. It is really, really important. And so I've studied so much on liver, and I tell you, every organ in your body is important. Every organ is playing a role to keep you alive. I know I've donated my gallbladder last year. I was feeling very generous. And I realized, oh my gosh, it was very important for me. You know, some people, you know, lose tonsils and appendix, and I have no idea. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a science student. My sister is. But I'm saying every organ is important, just like that. We are all part of one body. Amen. We are all part of one body. That's what Paul is talking to Romans, and he's saying we belong to each other. Turn to your neighbor and say, we belong to each other. Not because we are married, but because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Amen. Not because we are married. You know, I started to do a marriage council, premarital counseling with Nelikshan and Michelle. They're getting married. That's pretty cool. And the first thing I talked about is God. And I said, marriage is not a contract. It's a covenant. Contract is based on performance. Contract is based on how you treat me, then I will treat you. It's a contract. But covenant is, I will always love you no matter what you do. And that covenant, we are in that covenant relationship with our Heavenly Father. There you go, free $20 tip for you today. Okay, we may not feel like it. We may not feel like belonging. We don't feel like being together. I don't want to see those people today because they make me miserable. You know, we all have that. There are days where I don't want to see you. I'm not looking at you. There are days you don't want to see me, but trust me, we need each other. God's put us together. Each one of you are here. You call this your family because God put you here, not because I performed so well for you to entertain you. Reinhard Bonnke said that, I keep saying it often. I said, if you save people over entertainment and through entertainment, you have to entertain them all their spiritual life. So we don't want to save people to entertain, you know. Ooh, this is a good entertainment. Let me go to church. Entertainment is not going to transform you. The word and the power of the Holy Spirit is going to transform us. And you may come to church for just for some fellowship. It's good. But after a year or two, you will get bored because you're just holding for fellowship. What you need is Jesus. So I've got about a few points here that I want to talk to you this morning. And as I do it, but you know, we cannot fulfill God's purposes in our lives by being alone. We need each other. That's why even Jesus, when he was desperate, at the time of being crucified on the cross, and he was praying, and he said, look, would you come with me? It's like I'm saying, and who did he call? Peter. And I think he called Andrew. I can't remember who else. But he took them into the Garden of Gethsemane to be with him. And we can see Jesus' humanity. But Jesus is saying, look, you need people in your life. You can't do this alone. I can't do this alone. You postmodern Christians, I a postmodern Christian, you know, post-pandemic Christian, we can't do life alone. This loneliness is killing me. Amen. I heard someone smile when I said that. Very good. So I've got a few points this morning, and I want to really, really start looking at the scripture and give you these five points this morning. And these 5 points are kind of, I just thought about these, but it's more how does church help me emotionally? How does church help me spiritually? Because I am emotional. God put feelings in you. You're not a robot. You're not a Rambo where you become a seamster and you start sewing yourself. That's what Rambo, if you watch Rambo movie, you know, when I was a kid, I was like, wow, he can sew himself. This is cool. Put a new patch there called Wrangler or Levi's or Lee. Anyway. So church is important. And I want to, before I jump into this, I hope you understand now, church is you and I, not the building. Okay? Are we good with that? We settle on that? $20 for that? Good. Thank you very much. All right. Okay, my church, number one, my church is there to connect with me. I need church in my life. These are points that why do I need church? Why is church important? Why is church necessary for me? I need church because my church is there to connect with me. I need church to connect with me. I can't do life alone. I'm not talking just to married people. I'm talking whether you're single or married. These principles apply to all of us. I can't do it. The church connects with me. And to comfort me, to support me, there is safety being together. Right? There's safety in being together. Sometimes, you know, imagine walking by yourself in the middle of the night and on the road, some people are scared to be alone, but it's good to walk with one another. There's a comfort in that. Amen? So my church is there to connect with me. And connecting is not just, hello, good morning, mwah, mwah. Oh, you look so lovely today. Oh, so great. So good to see you. We should do coffee sometime. Sure, yes, yes. And you come back Sunday and go, how was your week? Rugby, Blues, 21-19. Yes. Oh, yeah. And we can do all that, but church is much more than that. Church is not just connecting in the superficial. Church is connecting in the spirit to spirit. Church is connecting to the emotion to emotion. Church is connecting, being there physically for one another. And that's the connection I'm talking about. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26 says, those who trust in their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Can you and I look at how do we motivate one another outside Sunday morning? I'm telling you, don't be so busy because life can happen like that. Life can happen like that where it stops you in your tracks. And you kind of go, wow, that's scary. And in verse 25, it says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is approaching or drawing near. God is going to come back. This time he's not going to come, as a baby, but he's going to come to judge you and I. Are we ready? We need one another. So look for ways how to encourage Lisa. Look for ways how to encourage Clara. Look for ways how to encourage one another during the week. Text one another. Do go knock on the door. Do something. But connect with one another in the spirit. Connect with one another in emotion. Connect with one another being there in the physical and be with them. Amen. Church is not a program. God is not interested in program. Church is about the presence of God. You and I are the people of God who carry the presence of God. When we come together, something happens in the spirit realm. Don't do life alone, please. The local church is the answer, God's answer for loneliness. There's so many people that are lonely. I don't know if you read a newspaper daily or regularly, but often time to time we see that somebody been dead for 48 hours and no one knew. And I was thinking of the kid in Christchurch who died and no one knew that he was dead. How lonely is that kind of life? Come on, we need one another. First Peter 4:9 says, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Share your home. Open your house for one another. Look, a church is not about a program. Open your door. I don't care if your house is small, your house is big. I don't care if your house is messy, if your house is clean. That's not the point. Open your house to invite one another. You're very quiet. Open your home. I'm challenging you. The Bible says that open your house for one another. Fellowship. Invite someone for a meal, you know, or cook a meal. Take your meal. Do something. Take them a latte. Do something where you're opening your home. Open it for connect group. Host it. Lead it. Invite somebody to your connect group. If they're too scared to come to church, invite them to connect group. Invite them to your social program. What are you playing, soccer or whatever? If you, Tom is playing with young people, soccer. Yeah. I was just coughing. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, invite someone along to your soccer club, but be a reflection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Karen and I heard this when we were living in Christchurch. We went to someone's house, and they were a very, very small house. And they had about 3 or 4 kids, and we went there because this girl was Silvana's schoolmate. We went to their house, believers, we went to their house. And this is what they said when we walked in. Karen and I walked in, and as soon as we walked in the room became small. And she said, "Hey, welcome to our house. Even though our house is small, our hearts are big." I was going, slap on you, Peter. Take that. My house is small, but my heart is big. When your heart is big, you can cram 20 people in a 4x4 room. If you don't know that, come to India with me. I'll show you. Mumbai trains, there are 1 billion people on one train. Packed in like sardines. Oh, the sweat. Anyway, don't want to go there. Everyone has a weird thing, right? Yeah. Okay, so, you know, we all want to belong, right? We all want to belong. We all want, that's why you belong to a Porsche club, or you belong to some soccer club, you belong to some club, or you wear labels because you want to identify with the belonging of that label, whether it is Louis Vuitton or whatever you wear. You want to belong to something. Look at me, I'm cool, you know? But God created us for belonging. We are to belong to one another. Not do life alone. Is that good? Okay, number 2. My church is there to co-labor with me. Not only connect with me in the spirit and flesh. It's there to co-labor with me. That means to work with me. Not work for me, but work with me. Isn't that good? God made us to do good works together. That's what I'm saying. Hey, let's support people in India. Let's support people in Asia. Come on. It's easy to give money, guys, but it's hard to pray. Let me tell you, it's easy to give money. It's easy to give a grand. Here you go. Take a grand, maybe 500 or 50 bucks. I don't know. Easy to give money, but hard to commit to those people in prayer. That's what we're saying. Come, let's do food bank. Let's do, what do you call that? Holiday program. Let's connect with families. Pray for one another. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other to succeed. Two people are better. We use these scriptures in marriage and we go, oh, so cute. You know, and I keep saying, and I said it to Nelly Chan and Michelle, if you catch upon this message, you may bless you. But I said, wedding is a day event, but marriage is a lifetime commitment. Right now, they might have a butterfly in their stomach or a rhinoceros in their stomach or a whole zoo, and they look at each other and go, oh, he looked at me. Oh, she looked at me. I bet I, cool. But when you're married, after 6 months, or if you're like us, in the first week, Carl was walking that far. Remember I told you that? You know, reality kicks in. Marriage is challenging. Relationship is challenging. Don't quit. Church is not going to always love us. Church is going to upset us. Hello? Yeah. You know why church is going to upset you? Because you're there. Clara found that funny. Because you may go, ooh, my pastor upset me. You go to another church, you're there. And that pastor will upset you. And then you go to another church, guess what? You are there. You take your problems where you go. Don't run from your problems. Work on your problems with one another. I'm not telling you, I'm just excited about this. I can't do it alone, guys. I can't do this alone. You can't do it alone. Do you think I'm a Superman? I'm not. I'm a pastor, but we are all running for the same goal. We are all, a shepherd should smell like his sheep. The only reason I stand up here, because it's good for the viewers. That's the only reason. This does not make me any holier than you are. Come on. Being here and kind of playing your guitar and go. That's what Jonathan does wherever he is. You know? And I don't know if you see me go. I'm like, that's like Wayne Rooney. You want me to do it again for a photo? There you go. Anyway, so we need each other. I need you in my life. Amen. Can't do it alone. And when I'm fatigued, I tell you this, I want to say this. When we were in Christchurch, we had these earthquakes, right? Earthquakes for a year or a year and a half. We all lived through adrenaline. Earthquake after earthquake after earthquake after earthquake. Adrenaline. And after the earthquakes are done, that's when fatigue kicked in. And you go, ugh. Because we were living in adrenaline. And then fatigue kicked in. People were getting depressed, divorces, suicide rate went high, poverty was high. There's a lot of things that was not right. And I'm saying pandemic made us all live in a bit of adrenaline, but this fatigue that's kicking in. It's like, ugh, ugh. Let me tell you, when you do life with others, church is the answer for fatigue. Why? Bible says, if you refresh, he who refreshes others will be refreshed himself. Amen. Going for a walk is good. It will do good to your body. It will do good to your mind. But you need somebody to walk with you to do good to your spirit. Amen. Hello? Everybody listening? Good. Third, number three. I've got three more done. My church is there to cover me. It's there to cover me, cover my sins. I want you to hold me accountable as I hold you accountable. Hold one another accountable. Someone's got to go to Tom and say, you're too old to play soccer. Because he keeps coming, my back hurts, my knee hurts. And then what are you trying to prove here? I'm just picking on him. Philippians chapter 2 verse 4 says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Don't look out for your own interests. Oh, I'm too busy for Don. Oh, no, I'm too busy. Oh, you have no idea how many hours I work. I literally work 28 hours in 24 days. I'm so busy. Don't look for your own interests. Look for others' interests too. Look after one another. Look after one another. Text them. Get involved in their lives and say, hey, don't kind of go, oh, I looked at Slade. Slade looked a bit slad. Slad? Sad? Slade looked a bit sad. And then I go tell that to Clara. Clara and I have a half an hour yarn about it. I don't know why he's looking sad. And then Clara and I go tell someone else. And we're all talking about him being slad. Sad. Sad. But in the first place, if I just go to him and say, mate, you're looking sad. What's going on in your life? Can we talk about it? Let's get to the heart issues. Come on. Hello, church. Let's get to the heart issues. Please do not pretend. Please do not pretend that you're okay. If you're not okay, can I say, saying I'm not okay is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of courage. Amen. I am weak. I need your help. And I love it because Brock got his bloods done, and my doctor rang me and said, look, you need to take Brock to Starship straight away. So Wednesday, I went to Starship and she calls the surgical team and I'm going, ooh, rah, bah, 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 no surgeries. Why surgery? What's happening? I have no idea. And I'm there and at the same time, I need to get my bloods done too. And my doctor said, I need your bloods done by 5 o'clock today and Brock needs to be in Starship. Cara was working and I'm going, what do I do? I'm there, my son, God's with me, but I need someone else. I need someone else. I know God is with me, but I need someone else to be with me. And guess what I did? Text Brinny. I said, hey, Brinny, are you working? She goes, yeah, I'm starting soon. I said, do you want to come and just hang out with us? Brinny works at, Auckland, ED in Auckland Hospital. So she came and Brinny sat with Brock for half an hour while I went and got my bloods done. You know, it's good to have a church family. Amen. And she apparently came early and she drove her own car, I found out, instead of taking a bus or a Uber or whatever, you know. But it's good to be. We need each other. Brinny stayed back and watched over Brock. And it's good to have a nurse there. But Brock's skin is peeling. He's not looking great. He's not looking great. But I know we serve a great God. Amen. So who is watching out for your soul and your spirit, guys? Who's watching out for your soul? Who's watching out for your... Tom said he bought a new furniture, but he needed a neighbor to give him a hand. And the neighbor gave him a hand. He trusts the neighbor with his furniture. Yeah. I just tried to cover your wife there. You know? This is marriage. Don't uncover your wife. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I'm trying to make a point. Is he invited a neighbor to help him to lift some silly furniture? How much more do we need to invite our church member to lift one another up? That's our culture, lift one another up. Church needs encouragement. It's like an oxygen to the spirit and to the soul. Don't be a fruit inspector. Walk into church and go, ooh, the lights were too bright. Or the lights were too dark. Clara was just going nuts. Jonathan, I didn't know whether he was playing guitar or playing soccer. Don't be a fruit inspector. Eat the fruit. Taste and see that our Heavenly Father is good. Taste and see that He's a good God. And can I, with humility, I say this, I genuinely don't care what you think about my preaching. I genuinely don't care. I'm scared about him. That he needs to be pleased with me, not you. I don't care about what your perception about me is, because then I will be living for you, to please you. Is Clara happy with me? That's what we do in this world. I don't want to live for Clara. Nathan's doing that. That's why he's not even here today. Because he's so exhausted. He said, ugh. Oh, is he? Hey, Nathan. Oops, you're in the mother's room. Well, you're a father. You're in the father's room. That's good. But I better be disciplined, sorry. But, okay. So, you know, let's be vigilant. The devil is like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Don't live with hurts, disappointments, grudges, guilt, and shame. Sort it out. Find somebody. Confess your sins to one another so you may be healed, the Bible says. Not just to Jesus, but to one another. To say, look, I've been harsh on my children. I've been lazy at home. I need help. I read the Bible, but it doesn't make sense. Would you please help me read the Bible for me? Come, help me out here. My church is there to cover me. I can give you so many scriptures, but I don't have time. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Amen. Look at that. Father and daughter can't sort themselves out. You know, now busy talking. That's good. That's very good. So, you know, two can fight together. three are better than one. Hallelujah. Not just in a marriage. Do you know even in your marriage you need someone else to speak in your life? Right? Can I also encourage you? Please don't leave it to a point where it's so strong, so tense that even a pin can pop the balloon. Invite somebody when you're struggling. Please invite somebody and say, I need help. It's okay to ask for help. Jesus took people with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 10, it says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Come on. If I fall, you're there to help me. And I said to you today, look, I need help. I'm struggling. I've got a son sick. I've got a daughter sick. I don't want to start my story here this morning. But I need help. I'm crying out for help. I said to Margaret, I made it my business. Margaret, pray for my son. I made it my business. She didn't dig it out of me. I went and told her, pray for my son. I need you to pray. Stand in the gap. Stand with me. I can't do it alone. I don't understand our culture. When you're sick, you want to do sickness all by yourself. Why do you need church then? If I'm always giving and not learning to receive, that's a pride issue. I'm too proud to ask for help. It's quiet. Ask for help, guys. Don't do life alone. Number four, my church helps me to comfort and counsel me. Isn't that cool? Church is involved in your life from christening to burying you. From dedication to death. Church is involved. Amen. My church is there to cover me, and my church is there to comfort me and counsel me. When I lost my mother, you comforted me. You counseled. You came home to visit me. When I was in hospital, you brought food. You took my children out to give my wife a break. Why did you do that? Because you love us and care for us. Not to impress us. We need one another. And I'm telling you, this church, I'm a recipient of receiving love. Yes, I'm the pastor, but I don't have all the answers. So when you look to me, my problem is look to Jesus. You look to me, I look to God. Together we look to God. He will give us the answer. Amen. Let's not be too proud to do it alone, guys. I'm saying, why is church necessary? I'm giving you the points here. It's important to counsel one another. 1 Corinthians 12, 26, it says, if one part of the body suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Isn't that good? And I'm learning that. I mean, look at with Gay and Merv today. I believe it's so cool that in the midst of some hardship, we are a family. We can journey together. Hallelujah. We don't have the answers. Do you know sometimes you don't need to have answers? You just show up and be there and zip your lips and just hug them. Don't say anything, but just be there. And we've done that, journeying together. Church is not about entertainment. Church is a body of Christ. Romans 12, 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Amen. Can we rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those weep instead of weeping over those that rejoice? Lisa's always happy. I don't understand why she's always happy. She really gets to my nerves, you know. Always happy. Calm down, girl. Take a chill pill. Now, don't be grumpy because she's happy. Be happy for her. That's what the Bible says. People are jealous when you're doing well. And that's why we bring in the tall poppy syndrome. We're so good at that. Oh, and we hide behind the culture. Our culture is a sin if it's against the word of God. My Indian culture is a sin if it is against the word of God. Your Kiwi culture my Kiwi culture, I've been here for 20 years now, our culture is a sin if it is against the word of God. Don't hide behind culture. That's what we do. Clara is happy. Why is she happy? Ugh. She always gives hugs, you know. Ugh, I don't like hugs. Oh, get over yourself. Sorry, it just came out. I'm usually nicer than that. But seriously, so what if she hugs you? Receive a hug. Amen. I don't like that because my mom, my dad never hugged. My mom's dad, my dad's dad never hugged. A generational of no huggers. So you're breaking the curse over our life. I cannot hug. Ah! No. Stop the curse over your life right now. You have a choice. Or you don't understand my family background. I'm sorry, I don't understand. I don't have the time to understand. And even if you explain, I may not understand. But Jesus understood, and that's why he nailed it on the cross, so you can walk free. So stop giving excuses and get on with the truth and walk in freedom. I keep saying it. If my mother only saw how much I've changed, she would fall off her throne. Because I changed a lot. I can cook for a start. So I'm saying the church comforts, church counsels, comfort the Joneses, not because they're weak, because they need the love of God. Amen. Distance is horrible. And Gay, who poured out 40 years of her life in children, right now, she can't be there with a grandchild. That's probably killing her. I'm making you cry probably. But that's killing her to be away from her grandson right now. Who poured into this church. Joseph was a little kid when she smacked your bum. Back in the day, you can smack your bum. Auntie Gay, she was known as Auntie Gay. Kids call her Auntie Gay. She served 40 years in this church with kids. And now, struggling. Let's pour our love on them. That's what church is. Post-pandemic church, is church necessary? Online is not necessary. Online, you can sit on your toilet and you can form your opinions. God didn't create us to be online. Stop being lazy. Stop living in fear and excuses. You send your kids to school, but you can't come to church. I'm talking to not expression, I'm talking to church. Don't leave church. Because you'll find another church because you're there. Last point, and I better shut up. My church helps me with Great Commission. My church helps me with Great Commission. Do you know why God created you, Slade? Not so that you can be happy, so that you can live for His glory. He didn't die on the cross to keep you happy. He died on the cross so that His manifest presence can be reflected in and through your life, no matter where you are. That's what He died for. God does not exist for you. You exist for God. So give up your plans and get on with His plans. I want to do this for God, do that for God. Don't be childish. Listen to God. God, do you want me to do this or not? That will reveal whether you have to be busy or not. Being busy is not bad, but why you're busy and the motive you're busy is important. Some people are busy to avoid reality. Hello? Stop being busy. Some people are socialites. They'll catch up with everybody and they're so tired, but then they hit the bed so they want to fall asleep because they don't want to face reality. But you, how long can you run from reality? How long can you do that? So I'm saying, let us fulfill the mission of God. John chapter 13 verse 35 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my what? You are my what? Your love for one another, my love for you and your love for me will tell the world that we are the children of God, the disciples who carry the cross, not just on a Sunday morning or when we feel like it. We carry the cross daily. And I want to challenge you, because I tell you that it is true. Seek God first. All these things will be added unto you. Seek God first, because when you seek God, your heart is at peace. Don't seek your career. Don't seek a girl. Don't seek a guy. Don't seek for affirmation. Seek God first. Couple of last scriptures, then I'll close. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. God did not give us spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Amen. What Melissa was talking about today, she said, I didn't think I was an evangelist. No, but you can still be a witness. Let's be witnesses. Let's pray for people that need Jesus. Last verse, get the worship team. Above all, you must live as the citizens of heaven. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Above all, you must live as the citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in the manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Worthy of the good news about Christ. And if you cut a bit of scripture there, it says, standing together with one spirit, one purpose, fighting together for faith, for the faith, which is the good news. Amen. Let's fight in faith. Let's fight for the gospel. Let's stand together. You and I together, we can finish the work of Jesus Christ. Amen. As long as we live here on earth. Together, we can impact the nations. Together, we can impact one another. Together, we can impact the society. Come on.
Yeah.
I can't do it alone. You are not a lone ranger. You need a family. And I need a family together. So is church necessary? I've given you a long-winded answer. Yeah. Yes. Church is necessary. Do not deceive yourself. You need me. I need you. Please, let's put our pride aside. We need each other more today than ever before.